sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
A mother's breastfeeding experience changes drastically over time, starting with her child's birth throughout the months of her baby's life. Today, we continue our conversation in our series called Breastfeeding Expectations. Over the next 12 months, we will follow three new mothers along their breastfeeding journeys, learning how they cope with breastfeeding challenges and settle into the breastfeeding rhythm with their babies. This is The Boob Group, episode 23.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also a certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. At The Boob Group, we're your online support club. At The Boob Group, we're your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Today, we are so excited to announce the Boob Group Club. Woo! This is an exclusive membership club available to all of our listeners. It gives you access to all of our archived episodes, written transcripts of the shows, plus a monthly newsletter with special giveaways, discounts, and much, much more. You can access all of this great information through the web or through our new Boob Group app. For more information, visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and click on Members at the top of the page. Now it's time for me to introduce our lovely new moms, who we will be following for now the next 9 months. Ladies, would you like to introduce yourselves, please?
Sure. Hi, I'm Cherry Christensen. I'm 31. I work in consumer research, and I have brand new baby girl. I guess she's not so brand new anymore. She just turned 3 months old.
Hi, I'm Annie Hall. I am 36 years old, and I'm an architect, and I have a brand new baby girl as well, but she's just about to turn 4 months, and she's Eleanor.
And Jen, who is usually here, as many things happen, life gets in the way, and her hubby is actually a groomsman in a wedding today, so she's not going to be joining us today, but she will return when we're back for the 5th month, so we just have these nice two ladies in the studio today.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
We're going to kick off today's episode with some unbelievable breastfeeding stories making headlines around the internet. And all of these stories are posted on our Boob Group Pinterest board if you'd like to check them out. So the article today that we're going to be talking about is from USA Today, and it's the title of it is Use of Mother's Milk Banks, Milk Sharing Skyrockets. And so we have essentially was just talking about how hospital milk banks and Facebook pages, there are all these different places where new moms are using each other's and one another's
mothers donated breast milk to feed their babies. And apparently about 2.18 million ounces of breast milk were distributed through the Human Milk Bank Association of North America in 2011, which is up from 1.5 million ounces in 2009 and 1.8 million ounces in 2010. And from the milk bank, most of this milk is actually going to babies in the NICU, and it's actually quite costly. It's about $3 to $5 an ounce. So think about how much. Yeah, so your babies are probably getting about 30 ounces a day. And so for...
I'm curious, what drives that cost? Why is it so expensive? Is it the cost of them processing it and screening the milk and screening the moms and all of that stuff?
That's exactly it. So the pricing's based on blood testing of donor moms, screening the donated milk for bacteria, and then they pasteurize it as well. Because you think about it, they're combining milks from all different ladies. And so they need to pasteurize it because the bacteria and all that kind of stuff. We don't know how old the milk has been around, because you can obviously save it for quite a while, especially if it's in your freezer. Mm-hmm. So all different dates, all different ladies. And then they also do these blood tests to make sure that the mom is really healthy. So there is a lot of milk sharing that's going on over Facebook as well. So I just wanted to get your take on it. I mean, have you heard of this before? Milk sharing either through milk banks or through Facebook?
Yeah, I have, because I remember when I was pregnant, I remember seeing someone had posted something on Facebook about a dad who his baby was not tolerating formula very well, and the mom had unfortunately passed away, and he was looking for donations. And just remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, if I have, extra milk and I'm in a position to donate, I would love to do that. But I know that some of the more official things, like this group that you were talking about, they have a little bit more sort of, hoops to jump through, and that there are plenty of sort of mom-to-mom groups on Facebook, like Eats on Feats,
I think is one of them. Yep.
And other groups like that, where moms are literally just connecting with moms in their local area. And I know a couple of moms who have crazy, excess supply, who have been donating hundreds and hundreds of ounces of milk. And I think it's such a wonderful thing to do. It's funny though, I would be totally open to donating my milk. I don't know how I would feel about getting someone else's though. Yeah. I know it's kind of a weird distinction, but I guess if you really, really need it, I would much rather take someone else's milk than put my baby on formula. Yeah. I would rather try that first.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Annie?
Initially, I think the idea of taking somebody's milk is strange to me. Maybe just because I feel so connected to giving my milk to my daughter and keeping it with my family. But if there was no other course, then I could see us choosing that as an option. I think it also sounds strange to me to mix the milks together.
Yeah.
But I also think it's an incredible thing. And that it's moms giving milk to these babies in the NICU. I mean, that's unbelievable thing. I think I would be able to get over my initial weirdness about it. It's simply just a person, initial reaction to just sharing something, a bodily fluid with somebody else.
But if you think about it, I'm vegan, so I don't drink, any dairy at all. But if you think about it, we don't know the cows, and we drink their milk.
Well, and that's why it's pasteurized.
Yeah.
Although there is raw milk, and if you're drinking it from a cow that you actually, grass-fed and it has safe things, but I mean, that's one of the reasons they pasteurize milk, is you have to kill the bacteria in it. And we actually just had an episode a couple weeks ago about women with insufficient glandular tissue, and one of the women there, her baby has been on her milk and donor milk since the beginning, and she's so thankful for these moms that she's met through these kind of informal milk sharing pages and things like that, as well as friends. I know a lot of them were through friends, but her baby is, gosh, I think he's now 15 or 17 months old.
Wow.
And and still on breast milk, hers and donor milk, so it's kind of a cool
really
concept.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thanks for sharing your ideas, ladies. So today on The Boob Group, we're discussing what Annie and Cherry's breastfeeding experiences have been like during their baby's fourth month. So ladies, what new and exciting things are your kiddos doing now in their fourth month? And it doesn't even have to be related to breastfeeding, but what have you noticed that's kind of different about them now?
I think non-breastfeeding related, Kelly is just super chatty. When I was in school, everyone called me Cherry Chatterbox, which perfect to come talk on the radio, I suppose. but she is just talking. Of course, you know, it's just all gurgles and muffled sounds, babbles. Yeah, but it just like, I mean, last month we were talking about sort of the smiles and her actually smiling back at me and all of that. But all of a sudden it was just blah, 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 blah. And sometimes she's just going and going, and I'll kind of talk back to her when she does that. And the more I talk back to her, the more she kind of talks back to me. So that's been non-breastfeeding related, but very, very fun. And I definitely feel like she's getting more and more interactive every day.
Yeah. How about you, Annie?
Yeah, she's definitely been talking. Eleanor has been, she started talking to me in the morning. So when the first breastfeeding session, she would just sit there and pull back and look at me and then just start talking. So we coo back and forth to each other. And then she's interactive. She's playing with rings and her little gym and anything that she can hold on to with her fist. In fact, yesterday she fell asleep hanging on to these rings that are hanging from her chair.
When did she start doing that?
In the last few weeks.
Okay.
In the last couple of weeks. Well, my sister brought over these rings, and so I just gave them to her hanging, and then she would hang on to them. And she's under her gym, and she has this one toy that has rings underneath it, and she has it in one hand, and then she has the rings in the other, and she's just like starting to do Olympics. She's very talented.
Doing sit-ups.
So, yeah, that's right. So yesterday, she fell asleep with her hand holding the ring in the car seat, which was pretty awesome. So, very interactive and rolling. Not so much rolling over, but just rolling on her side, picking up her feet. And I need to do more tummy time. I forget to do that, but
I know. I remember when my son was 3 months old, it was such a different, all of a sudden he was just interacting with his environment and, like you said, chewing on toys. And I remember sticking him in his bouncy chair in the kitchen while I was cooking. And before 3 months, I kind of needed to pick him up after about 10 minutes. So I was constantly going back and forth, and dinner took me like an hour to cook. And then once around 3 months, all of a sudden, it was like he was just kind of hanging out in there. He had a little aquarium that he looked at. He'd look up at me and like, coo. We'd have conversations back and forth. And he was just all of a sudden just so excited about his environment rather than overstimulated by it. And I just thought it was such a cool thing. So it's so exciting your little ones are going through that as well.
And I love that Eleanor is a couple weeks older than Kelly, because I feel like every month it's kind of a sneak peek of what's coming next, because she's not really holding on to things yet, but I can see she's sort of making little grasping things with her hands. I'll try and give her something and she's not really interested in it, but her hands are fascinating and those go right in her mouth. She's trying to see how many fingers she can fit in, so I feel like she's almost there. So
and that's what it started with. It was her hands first, and then they were in her mouth, and then it was her arms go flailing all over the place to try to get the one thing that's right on her. So they go out here to the right, and then they come back to her heart, and then she grabs this little toy, and then she starts sucking on it, and slobber is going all over the place, which I realized that she's been putting her hand up towards her ear a little bit, so she's teething, which I didn't realize would start so soon, but she could be teething for the next 3 months and a tooth wouldn't come through,
totally.
As I understand, right? So she's been slobbering all over the place. So you have that to look for.
There's been a lot of slobber, and I've just been like having my fingers crossed, like, no, she's not teething yet. It's too early. It's too early. It's too early.
So have you noticed a change in your baby's breastfeeding patterns over this past month? Are they still kind of feeding? I think they were feeding every couple hours and going longer stretches at night and stuff like that. What's it looking like for now for you?
Kelly's still pretty much doing that. I think she's taking, every now and then I'll kind of do a pre and post feed way. And so I noticed that she's taking a little bit more in at each session, but I don't feel like she's nursing less frequently. So I think she's still going as often and just taking in more milk. We definitely had some issues with her in the beginning where she was really spitting up a lot. I don't like to talk about it because whenever I talk about it, she spits up. But if I don't say anything for 2 months, then it doesn't happen. But that seems to really, really have gotten better. And I know I knew it was normal, but it was still a little bit alarming because I would feel like she just sped up like ounce for ounce, every ounce she just took in. And clearly, I think it was just, a part of the normal underdevelopment of her, of her system. And she seems to be getting much better. So, but she's still nursing a lot. I think the one thing that I've noticed that's much harder was we really used to try and get to her before she was crying. Like, crying was like the last thing. And one of the things that was really great was whenever she was hungry, she would put her hands by her mouth. And that was one of the easiest cues for me to pick up. Mm-hmm. Now her hands are always in her mouth. Like 24/7, she has a hand in her mouth. And so it's become a little bit harder to kind of pick up sometimes on when she isn't hungry. But yeah, but she's been doing great, and we're definitely kind of, you know, getting much more into a rhythm of things. And I realize days go by where I'm just like, oh, everything's just completely normal. You know, this is what I wanted from day one. Yeah. It just took us, you know, 2-3 months to get there. But
and you bring up a really good point before you share. But right around 3 months, when babies are starting to put their hands and toys and things in their mouth, it is really challenging to find out when they are hungry, because that is no longer a cue anymore. And I think that sometimes some parents don't know that. And so they're like, why is my baby hungry all the time? But actually, it's no longer an instinct for them to put their hands in their mouth and point to their mouth and say, like, put something in here right now and feed me. Now it's just like, oh, this is awesome. I found my hands. I found this little chew toy, and I'm going to chew toy. Yeah. It's like a dog. Yeah. But, you know, little toy. And then because it feels good on their gums, and now they know how to use their hands.
I just have to compete with her hands, though, because I'm trying to nurse her and her hands are in the way. And they always were, but now it's just like she has so much more control over them. And, you know, the second, like, sometimes she'll kind of like pop off a little bit, and before I can get her latched on again, there's a hand in her mouth, you know, and I'm like, no, no, no. And then sometimes I just figure, you know, maybe she just wants the hand in her mouth, and I'll let her keep the hand, and, you know, we'll try again in 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Annie, how about you? Breastfeeding looking the same for you now?
No, but I don't know how to describe what it is right now, because we're both confused.
So let's talk about it. What's confusing?
So we had a pretty good pattern of like her 3-hour cycle of eat, play, sleep kind of cycle. And she would sleep for about an hour, hour and a half. And so that was it. And then the last few days, the last couple of weeks, she was up at different times in the night, but just once, but just up at different times. And so that threw me off. And then she'll wake up in the morning at different times. And I was getting used to her being up around 7:30, so that works out great with a daily routine, and I could figure that out. And then this last week it was 5, and then 8, and then it was 4, and then 7, but then she wasn't hungry at 7. So I was expecting her to eat right when she woke up, and she wasn't hungry right when she woke up.
Yeah.
So then I would feed her again at 8, but then it was kind of a half feeding, and then I had to go to work. So I don't get to be home. Make me emotional to figure it out.
Yeah.
She's eating plenty through the bottle through the day, but just right now, I tried to feed her with the bottle, and today with the breast, she was like, "I don't want it." So she might be, I don't know, a little bit of teething and her hands in her mouth and all the saliva, and maybe she's a little confused too, and she doesn't know when she wants it. You know, I don't know. So
something we'll delve into a little bit and figure out.
So I feel like she's in transition to a new pattern.
Yeah.
And maybe she's going to be up a little bit longer. Maybe she needs a little bit more every time she eats. So I've decided to, instead of 4 ounces, it's 5. And so I'm trying that, or will be trying that. But I haven't figured out what she needs when.
Yeah.
So that's where I am.
And the other thing that's really common with babies who, I'm sure we will be talking about this next month, actually, it's very common when babies hit that kind of 4-month mark, they become very distractible at the breast. Like, they're sitting there and they're calm, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, shiny. And they flip it, sometimes with your nipple in their mouth, they turn around.
No, totally true.
Yeah. And so what we find a lot, and I remember it with my own kids too, is they were sleeping great until about 4 months. And then all of a sudden we had this reversal where they were starting to wake up more frequently in the middle of the night. And I think it's because they're not getting as much in the daytime.
Right.
Because they're like, ooh, shiny. And so unless you're sitting in a quiet room and really kind of setting your nursing routine, then they kind of snack through the day. And then at night they're like, oh, I need to wake up because I'm actually hungry. Whereas before, you're like, wow, you know, you're not hungry. You're powering through it. Why are you hungry now? Is it something with my supply? And oftentimes it has nothing to do with the supply, but just that they were snacking throughout the day because they were so interested, kind of talking about how now everything is not so overwhelming to them, but actually very interesting, and they want to interact with their environment. Sometimes they interact when they're trying to eat. Mm-hmm. And so they need to be, you know, in a quieter space sometimes. So it might be something that you can try with Ellie and see if maybe you can set up this. You're probably already doing this anyway, but if not, just find a quiet space in your home or when you're out where it's just the two of you and she's spending more time there. And so that way, it's not disturbing kind of this breastfeeding, bottle feeding, all that kind of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So just a little tidbit. and Kelly
and
is
someone
awake.
Has just woke up.
Exactly. Well, perfect
She's
timing,
like, I'm
going to
let you know I'm hungry.
Exactly. When we come back, we'll be discussing how Annie and Cherry are dealing with returning back to work and pumping. And I know that both of them had some questions that they wanted to talk about today. So we'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
All right, so we're back. And Annie, I know you had a question. You had mentioned to me that you were curious about increasing your fat content in your milk. And so, if I may ask, are you worried about the fat content of your milk? What kind of sparked this question for you?
I had heard through a friend who has a daughter that her wife was looking to increase the fat content, and so she started drinking dark beers, like porters and dark beers, to increase the fat content. And so I thought to myself, well, why do you need to increase the fat content? Do I not make enough fat? Because she said one of her friends, actually I think it's Jen, her milk has if you look at the 4 ounces, there's like 2 ounces of fat, and then the rest is regular, whatever. Right. And so she said...
That's exorbitant, actually.
Yeah.
So, well, it's butter and cream, just like your kids had. So... I thought, well, is it supposed to be like that? And I didn't really look anything up. I just thought, I need to talk to Robin about this. What do I do to make more fat? Am I supposed to have more fat? And then I read a little bit about it, that it's not so much about the fat, it's just about the amount. But I was curious, is there something that I'm not doing right in my diet?
Well, I love that question. I actually, when you asked it, I was like, I don't know the answer to that. So I went on Kelly Mom.
That's
my favorite
too.
Place. And it, I mean, I had kind of I had an assumption about it, but I just wanted to make sure that I had the correct answer. And so you are correct. It's more about the amount the baby's getting and rather than the fat content. And so the way to ensure that your baby is getting enough of that hind milk that we hear a lot about, which I actually have a article on my website for the San Diego Breastfeeding Center about that the formilk hind milk imbalance is actually quite a controversy, because I find that a lot of moms unnecessarily worry about it because it's really not something to worry about unless you see some symptoms and some signs of it. But essentially, the more full your breast is, the longer you've gone. So say, think first thing in the morning and your baby's had a 4, 5, 6 hour chunk of time that your baby slept, then your milk is actually going to be more watery. It's going to have more formilk because your breasts are your goods are stretched to capacity, okay? But then if you feed more regularly and it doesn't allow them to fill up as much, then the percentage-wise that we're looking at of formilk and hind milk is going to be a little bit more balanced. And so the more that you have in there, the more formilk that is. But so really it's, and it also increases your milk production the more that you empty your breasts. So it's not necessarily that there's anything that you can do to increase the fat content of your milk. Every woman's fat content is different and it fluctuates throughout their entire time that they're breastfeeding. I think I would actually like to see this woman's milk, because I'd be really surprised if it was 2 ounces of cream and 2 ounces of formilk. Because even in my good days when my kids were like chunky babies, it still only skimmed the top of it when it froze.
Okay.
So I think that's, and again, your baby's getting hind milk. even from that first drop that they're taking. But the percentage of it compared to the formula milk is lower. But then throughout the feeding, as your baby's on there, it's higher hind milk concentration, higher hind milk concentration. And then towards the end of the feeding, it's kind of flip-flopped. So now there's more hind milk in there and less formilk. So as long as your baby's draining the breast and draining it regularly, whether you're at work and pumping or your baby's on you, you know, throughout the day and night, then your baby's accessing all the fat content that they need, as long as the ounces are kind of meeting their need. So,
well, and I think that's what led me to not so much a question, but an understanding after reading that. I think I read the same thing. At work, when I pump, I wasn't necessarily draining. I was just going for 10 or 15 minutes, but I also was thinking I have to hurry up.
Yeah.
So there's that sort of pressure and pull that I've put on myself. But the last couple of days, I've just gone for 20 minutes and it looks like I've drained a lot.
That's a good idea.
So, and that also gives me a more of a supply.
Yep. And the other thing is too, is if you're pressed for time during those, so say you pump for 10 minutes without any massage and maybe you're reading your iPhone just to kind of decompress for a little bit, listening to some music. Those last 5 minutes, if you have 15 minutes, get in there and really massage, especially like underneath the armpit and the periphery of the breast is where that really hard to access milk kind of hangs out. And that's the creamier milk. And so really kind of compressing and pushing from the outer edges of the breast to the nipple. I would find that towards the end of my pumping sessions when I was at work, if I squeezed my breast together and gave myself some really sweet cleavage, that would actually give me a whole nother ounce than if I wouldn't have done that. And so that's also another way, rather than pumping for longer, but just actually doing some hands-on massage while you're pumping could really get the milk out.
So would you actually be squeezing that whole ounce or just do it once and then it would stimulate the extra ounce to come
out?
I would
actually do the compressions for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So,
doing it here.
We're trying it. We squeeze it into Callie's mouth. Yeah. But it's kind of the same philosophy where in the beginning when your baby's just a few days old and you're trying to keep them awake at the breast and so you're pressing your breast to kind of squeeze the milk into their mouth. Same type of things towards the end of your pumping sessions or the end of your breastfeeding sessions too. Using those compressions just helps get the milk out. And so, yes, I would use it for probably the last 5 minutes. And I would find that the time when all of a sudden my milk would not be coming out anymore would be sooner rather than if I didn't use massage at all. So maybe I didn't use massage and it would take 20 minutes for the flow to really stop. But if I use massage, it would take about 15 because then once I let go, it was like there was nothing else coming out. So I felt like I really maximized my pumping session. So I know, right? Cherry, you had mentioned to me that, you know, you're kind of feeling stressed about going back to work.
Yes.
It's a very emotional experience.
I will not cry. Yeah. I will not cry. I will not cry.
I know. I cried for the first week when I was back at work. I totally remember that, just sobbing. But it definitely gets better. I know that. But you were saying that you kind of worry about this, and even now, and while you're worrying about it, you've noticed that your supply can go down. It's really affected by your mental.
I think, I mean, you know, if you recall, I definitely had an oversupply at the beginning, which I think contributed and exacerbated all of the other issues that I had. And it was a tough problem to have just because I'd meet so many people in my breastfeeding support groups who didn't have enough milk. And so they're like, oh, boohoo, you have too much milk. But I definitely sort of saw things sort of stabilizing. And I thought that, okay, it's just, you know, time, my body's kind of gotten sort of used to the rhythm of things. And I kind of slacked off on the pumping a little bit just because I hate pumping. And I was just kind of really busy and stuff like that. And I didn't, before I was pumping because I felt like I needed to because I was so engorged still. And so I would have to pump a little bit and I would pump maybe once a day. And then it was once every other day and once every 2 days. And then it kind of started getting less and less. And all of a sudden I realized, I was like, I should probably stop pumping again. I'm going back to work. We need to make sure that we're giving Callie a bottle. And that was when all of a sudden I started noticing a difference because, you know, you can't really notice a huge difference in your supply when you're just nursing because you never see the milk, which I know is why so many people have frustrations with breastfeeding. But it was when I was pumping that I was seeing a huge difference. My bottles are 5 ounce bottles and I would notice that I could fill them up pretty quickly within literally 5 minutes. I would turn the pump on. And so, yes, Annie's looking at me like crazy here, which was why I was thinking, oh, pumping at work is going to be a breeze because I was thinking, where am I going to have time to do these 15, 20 minute pumping sessions? And I thought, well, this is fantastic. It only takes me 5 minutes. So that's great. And then when I kind of started pumping a little bit more regularly, I noticed that I wasn't getting as much milk. So one day I pumped and I got 1.5 ounces out of the left when I normally get about 4.5. So I was like, okay, that's a significant difference. And then the right side was always kind of the overproducer, well, more than the left side. And I would normally get like 5 or 5.5. And I'd notice I was only getting 4. And the more I started noticing this, I think the more it started stressing me out. And sure. I think it was probably a little bit of a vicious cycle. And I kind of just decided, this was only about maybe 2 weeks ago. And so since then I just decided, you know what, maybe I need to just be pumping every day, try and make it a bit more consistent. And I noticed that it has been going up, especially since I've been trying to relax a little bit. Not as much as it was before, but the thing that I'm noticing now is it's taking 15, 20 minutes for the same amount of milk that I used to get in 5. And so I'm not sure why is it taking so much longer to get the exact same amount of milk that I used to get before.
Yeah, well, my thought it probably is that you did have such an oversupply before and Callie was taking less. And so, and we also find that most women's milk, their breasts and their milk supply kind of regulate by about 12 weeks and your body just stops. You don't want to walk around in a permanent state of engorgement.
No.
And so, and your body doesn't want you to either because it slows down your supply. And it may decrease your supply if you are in a permanent state of engorgement. And so,
good point.
Yeah, so now that your body's regulated, it's now meeting Callie's need more regularly rather than overcompensating or making more than she needs. And that's probably why you're finding that it's taking longer because it's not just pouring out like it was before, but that it's actually not supposed to. It should take, because think about how long does Callie stay at the breast when she nurses?
She's been on for a while now, but normally sometimes she's done in 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
She was always really, really fast nurser.
And she's also going to be stronger than the pump.
Yeah.
And so try the massage and see if that helps, because I do find, and moms sometimes, you have to psychologically let down for the pump.
I know.
It's different.
Yeah.
And so if pumping is stressing you out, find some things that make it so that way it's not so stressful. We actually just had an episode released a couple weeks ago about maximizing your pumping sessions where just about ways in which you can make pumping work for you better, and see if those help to really kind of get to milk flow a little bit more easily.
I got one of those hands-free bras. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's going to be fantastic because the first couple sessions sitting there holding the two bottles. But I find it actually makes it a little bit harder to kind of get in and do the massage and feel what's going on and feel if my breast is emptied because the bra is so tight and there is so much compression from the bra. So yes, I have my hands free, but it makes it a little bit harder. So I'm going to go experiment in the next couple of days and I'll let you know.
Okay, sounds good. Annie, what type of advice do you have for Cherry kind of going back to work, or were things kind of popping in your head while Cherry was talking?
They were, because I was thinking about in the beginning, the pumping situation was uncomfortable for me and it made me sad.
When
I was back at work already, and just feeling like it was part of my routine or my day. But now that I've been back at work, I think for now a month, it definitely feels a lot more normal and I'm desensitized to it that, you know, here I am. I'm just pumping. And I have a cover and everyone knows that that's what's happening. So it's and I've let go of the sensitivity that I was feeling before too. Yeah. So it's definitely a little bit easier. And I don't have as much privacy as you might be able to have. I don't know. So that having that cover was a big deal. And then I was also getting nervous that I sometimes, because of meetings or things that were going on, I was skipping a pumping session. And so I thought, is that going to make my supply go down and whatever? So I talked with Robin about it, and she advised to do an extra pump at night and then maybe do a little bit in the morning. So as long as I'm continually getting the milk out and making sure that I have enough bottles for the next day for when she's with our caregiver, then I feel okay.
Okay.
And now I'm all screwed up because I don't know when she's hungry and how much she's taking in and how much she needs. So I'm a state of confusion. Hi.
And Callie's awake.
Hi, Callie.
Hi, baby girl. Well, ladies, I think that kind of wraps up our show today. We definitely can delve into this. Hi, sweetheart. We can definitely delve more into this, you know, going back to work topic as well. Callie, Cherry,
tell us.
I know.
I've noticed people calling me Callie lately, and I figure, you know what, I'll just answer
that
until she's old enough
I'm
to
just
answer the Callie.
Staring at her. She's so dang cute. Cherry, how many more weeks do you have before you go back to work?
I think I have Probably about 4.5 weeks.
Okay,
now. So it's a little while. I may see you again before the next one, but it'll probably
be
days.
If not, you'll definitely have some questions afterwards. So, well, ladies, thank you so much for sharing your experiences breastfeeding your babies during their fourth month of life. And Cherry, we wish you the best of luck returning to work if we don't speak to you before then. And we look forward to catching up with the two of you as well as Jen in a few weeks. So thanks so much for coming.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we end our episode today, here's a hilarious breastfeeding oops from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Erin, and I have a 9-month-old son named Cash, and this is my boob oops. I had never breastfed in public, and when Cash was about 6 months old, we finally managed to go out with some friends. They had invited us to watch a game. So we went down to Petco Park, and they had these wonderful seats right behind the home plate. And I thought, okay, this is a good time to go ahead and try and breastfeed in public. So I started to nurse Cash, and since he's not accustomed to being nursed with a cover, he threw the cover back and threw himself back, exposing all of my business to those around me. And I managed to get covered up and get him calm and everything. And a few minutes later, my hostess turns to me and she says, "Erin, you know, I think that because we're behind home plate, we're on national television." Yeah, so much for the first time to nonchalantly and covertly breastfeed in public. So,
if you have a breastfeeding oops you would like to share, please call our boob group hotline at 619-866-4775 and we'll highlight it on an upcoming episode. Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you'll visit the website, theboobgroup.com, and add your stories about breastfeeding your 3 to 4 month old in the comment section on this episode's page. Coming up next week, we'll be discussing sex and breastfeeding, not at the same time. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.